Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Tinana Chiefs Conference annual convention continues today in Fairbanks. Day one included addresses by local, state, and national leaders covering a wide range of topics from subsistence to substance abuse, public safety, and criminal justice, including the Fairbanks 4 case. Fairbanks Native Association President Steve Guinness brought up the case, which involves four local Native men whose convictions for the 1997 beating death of 15-year-old John Hartman were overturned in 2015.
As far as I'm concerned, it's an unresolved murder. And unfortunately, our young men spent 18 years behind bars for something that they didn't do.
Guinness asked City Mayor Jim Matherly why Fairbanks police are not pursuing investigation of Jason Wallace, a local man already serving life in prison for other murders, who was pointed to as Hartman's killer during a 2015 Fairbanks 4 case evidentiary hearing.
Because I think not only do we need closure, but the family that suffered this unfortunate tragedy also needs closure as well.
Citing pending lawsuits filed against the city by Fairbanks 4 members Marvin Roberts, Eugene Vent, George Freeze, and Kevin Pease, Mayor Matherly did not directly respond.
I can't make personal comments on that while it's an open case. I hope you respect that, but I understand it's a concern for you, sir. I do, and I respect very much the fact that it is to you and to everybody in this room.
The issue of how the Fairbanks 4 were treated by the system and the need for change were also raised with Governor Bill Walker. In response, Governor Walker held up his appointment of former Fairbanks 4 lawyer Jonna Lindemuth to be Attorney General.
A young lady attorney that got very involved in that case on the Fairbanks 4 and represent them on a pro bono basis, it's not a coincidence that she's now the Alaska Attorney General. And so I was very honored to, I was very impressed with what she did.
The Fairbanks 4 agreed not to sue the state or city of Fairbanks as part of a 2015 settlement which overturned their convictions for the Hartman murder. The federal civil rights suits they filed against the city in December attacked the settlement as coerced and unenforceable. Public safety is another serious issue at the TCC convention. Declining state funding means fewer Alaska State Troopers, and TCC Village Public Safety Officer Program Coordinator Sergeant Jody Potts says many communities lack VPSOs.
I hear our chiefs who are tired of responding to crime because they don't have law enforcement in their villages. I hear your stories. I keep in mind the little kids who run up to me when I'm just doing a day trip or an overnight visit in one of our villages. The little kids who run up to me and say, "Are you our new VPSO? Are you our new VPSO?" And I say, "Oh, I'm just here for the day. I'm sorry. I leave tomorrow," and the disappointment on their face.
Pott says TCC is struggling to fill vacant VPSO positions, and the statewide program needs to be adapted to better meet interior village needs.
And if we can compact and design a law enforcement department that would work for our region, I think would really have a huge impact on the crime rates that we experience here.
Pott says the state is open to discussing solutions, but jurisdiction is a roadblock.
I don't think asking for shared or concurrent jurisdiction is out of line. I think since our tribes are already doing it, we need to be able to have the authority to make it meaningful.
Potts also emphasizes that community members need to step up.
We get this initial report, they go out and do the investigation, and then witnesses suddenly decide to not cooperate. They're not going to tell their story and what happened for fear of retaliation.
Potts says victims need to be supported so they feel safe following through with law enforcement. In an address to the TCC convention yesterday, National Congress of American Indians President Jefferson Keel stressed the importance of tribal control, emphasizing that the federal government is too entrenched to adapt to local needs.
The federal government is in business to stay in business, you know, and the bureaucratic processes that they have in place right now will take years to untangle. What we really need is a common sense approach to the land and to trust regulations.
Keel pointed to a simple solution.
If you really want to get rid of the federal trust relationship, then give the tribes the ability to manage their own lands, their own resources, on their own terms. That's what we need.
Keel said the Trump administration has been mixed on Native issues, noting the president's signing of a Tribal Employment, Training, and Assistance Act while proposing cuts to numerous other federal programs, important to tribes. A snowier than average winter and four consecutive years of budget cuts have stretched the state's ability to plow roads. Department of Transportation Commissioner Mark Lucan says that's also made the agency come up with more efficient ways to get the job done. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Greg Garrels was plowing his driveway off Johnson Road in Salcha a couple weeks ago when he noticed the school bus turnaround spot had not yet been cleared.
So I went down and cleaned out the bus turnout, which was no fun because there was about a foot and a half of hard pack in there. You know, concrete.
Garrels says he's noticed State Department of Transportation crews have sometimes been slow to plow some of the roads around Salcha this year. He thinks that's mainly due to DOT's closure of the Birch Lake Maintenance Station, which used to take care of snow plowing around the community. The Birch Lake Station was one of five the department shut down last year to absorb cuts in the agency's operations and maintenance budget, which took a $43 million hit in fiscal 2017.
They're really trying hard, you know, but the thing is there's only so much they can do with fewer pieces of equipment and fewer people.
State Transportation Commissioner Mark Lucan concedes that reductions in DOT's budget over the past 4 years has reduced the department's ability to quickly clear snow and ice from Alaska's roads. He says the $43 million reduction equates to nearly a quarter of the agency's operations and maintenance budget.
That has significantly impacted how well we are able to, you know, maintain our road system. Not just winter maintenance, but really summer maintenance. But certainly, you know, people see it more acutely in the winter when they see snow and ice on the roads.
Lucan says this year's heavy snows have compounded the problem. National Weather Service meteorologist Chris Cox says the Fairbanks area got about 23.5 inches of snow in the last month alone.
That was the sixth snowiest February of the last 107 years. For the season total, we've had 77.5 inches of snow, and that's 19.2 inches above the normal.
Lucan says the tight budget has forced his agency to look for ways to get the job done with less money and fewer workers.
I think we found more efficient ways to deal with snow and ice.
Things like icebreakers that you'll see around town, especially when we have icy surfaces.
Transportation Department spokeswoman Meadow Bailey says the ice-breaking trucks push a cylindrical drum with spikes to bust up the ice, which is then scraped up by a snowplow that follows close behind. Bailey says the department's also been using tow plows, which are pulled behind snowplows.
We're also using tow plows because we can use one truck and be able to clear two lanes of road with one operator.
Bailey says clearing all the snow and ice from the state's roads has required crews to log about $1 million in overtime so far this winter. She says about 600,000 of that has gone to workers in DOT's northern region, where 60% of the state's roadways are located. She says DOT is trying to save money in other ways, such as using a salty brine to de-ice road surfaces. And she says the department's using more pickup-size snowplows for smaller outlying roads.
It was taking us a while to get to some of these roads, and we wanted to try to respond faster, and this is one of the things that we're experimenting with this year, and we've had a good response with it.
Bailey says the department will continue to use the more efficient equipment and strategies even after Alaska's fiscal crisis passes and the state is able to restore funding to its agencies. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.